We're on Test Summit Bays. More specific, we're up to Heichi Matzi Samach. Actually, we're a few lines above that, which we should have seen. I'm not sure why we didn't. There's a dot. It says, Bein Malchi Yisrael Bein Lemalchi Akum. And then there's a dot, Omer Le Rebbe Ilod, which is 14 lines from the bottom. Okay? 14 lines, to be exact. Don't count it. Okay. Omer Rebbe Loi, Testament Bays, Rebbe Loi says, this is really something which we talked about last week. But we didn't see it. Kalisa Lohosim, when we go up from there, Sha'il B'Shlomo Rav Bruna. Go ahead, Achi. Go ahead and ask the, how this guy by the name of Rav Bruna, my brother, ask about him. He's a very unusual man. But Ma'imid Kol Chabura, when you ask for him, you should ask for him in the presence of the entire assembly. The Adam Gadahu, why should I see him? What's so special about him? He's a big guy. Doesn't mean big, like being what big horizontally learning. Challenged. Big in learning, yes. Misamach b'mitzvos. What's unusual about him is not just he's an Adam Gadol b'Torah, but he's also sameach when he does a mitzvah. He's extremely happy when he does a mitzvah. For example, Zim Lechad, the one time Samach Gula Tvila, one time he was Samach Gula Tvila, which, as we saw in Tosis, it doesn't just mean you said Gula Yisrael, then immediately afterwards you said the Shon Esra, but as Tosis told us last week, it meant specifically that he was Samach Gula Tvila at the exact right moment of the day that he said Shema right before Nates, and then immediately afterwards at Nates he began the Shemot Esra. He davened at the perfect moment, and when he realized that he davened at such a perfect time, you couldn't remove that smile that was permanently affixed to his face the entire day.
Whatever floats your boat.
I've done that. I didn't smile all day. No.
You may have yawned all day, but that's someone who's sameach when that's supposed. You should check him out. He's a good guy. Okay. Anyway, that was last week's piece, but we wanted to see it anyway. It's this way we saw that those few lines. Now the Gemara asks the question. We're talking about being sameach gula tefila, which on the Tosis' explanation, but on the surface it just means Gua Yisrael, then jump right into the Shemot Esrei.
Well, what's up? That's what you normally do, so what's so...
Because I'm saying that last week we said, well, right, everyone does it, so... Right, so but the Gemara last week said if your stomach goes tefillah, you won't be damaged all day, and all these terrific things will happen to you. So it doesn't just mean your stomach goes tefillah, and this Gemara, it also means you davened at the perfect time also. Right, just proceed. Okay, anyway... But now we're going to just explain as it sounds, being Samach Tefillah. The Gemara asks, Heichi Matzi Samach, how can you ever be Samach Tefillah? That's what we actually had this before. As you can see in the source of Shas, which is on the left, it says L'el, Dalid, two dots, or a colon means Amud Beis. So we had this previously. We had this before. And this is what it says. V'olim Rav Yochanan B'chila, at the beginning of the Shemon Esrei, who are my Hashem Sevasi Tivta. We say that pasuk, Hashem Sefasi Tiftach, Ufi Yagitil Sechav. So, at the end of the Shemot Esrei, Hu Omer, Yil Ratzon Nimreifi. Right? So, we don't have a question on the second part, but
the
one...
The first part, say, becomes in between the Ulul and Tefillah.
Right, so it's a hefsek.
But, no, it's a hefsek. That's
what the Gemara is asking. Go ahead.
It's not a hefsek, because You're
asking God, you're making a bar kosher, but you can say the Shemot Esrei is part and parcel of the same thing. It's like the preamble to Shemot Esrei is like part of it. So you can daven the right kavana. So you really is gula l'tefillah because it's part of the tefillah. Very good. The Gemara is going to end up giving that answer at the end. We don't give that answer right away, but that will be the final answer to that question. Very good. The Gemara first says, well, nah, maybe you don't really say Hashem all the time. Rabbi Blazer, Tehebet Tefillah Shel Arvis. Only say Hashem Sevosei Tiftach then, by Marv. Of course, we don't just say it by then. Because by Tefillah Shel Arvis, you don't have to be Samach Tefillah, it's not as important. The Gemara is going to entertain that.
By
right, the Gemara is going to entertain that next. So I, but Rav Yochanan, what we said, Ezu Be'en Olam Habo is the person who's destined the world to come. Zeh osa mekula shel arvis letfila shel arvis. So you have to be some mekula tefila by marv too, right? It's also an important thing. So you don't get out of the answer and say, I might, you know, it's just say Hashem shavu sektiyat dach then. Well, even if you said it then, you're, that's not being some mekula tefila by marv either. Elo im rabbi lezer tehe betfilas hamincha. Very good. The only time you say Hashem shavu sektiyat dach, only by mincha. Because there's no Goy Israel. By Shacharis, by Marv, better not say it. Because if you say it, the, it's a Hesed.
The Goy Israel Marv is not some of Lutfila either. You have Hashem Yvain over
there. It's another question. I mean, the Gemara doesn't even entertain that as a question. But
why?
That's a bigger problem.
Hashem Yvain was there in the lake.
By what? That's only by Mincha. We only say
Kishen. But even if you didn't say Hashem Shoei Tiftach, it'd still be massive because of Kishen.
In which tefillah? In which tefillah?
In Mincha.
But when we only say Kishem by Mincha.
But that's what I'm saying. But even if you didn't say Hashem Shoei Tiftach, you still would have a Hesed. You still would have a Hesed.
Good. I hear what you're saying.
But by
Mincha, we're not concerned.
But
yeah.
Rabbi Scroll says that Hashem Yivaino is a part of God of Israel.
Oh.
So since it's a part of God of Israel, then it's not a Hesed.
That was added later, wasn't it?
What?
I feel it was added later.
But it has nothing to do with it, but the fact of the matter is that they consider it a part of Goal Yisrael, so since it's a part, it'll be like, I don't know.
Do you know where he probably got that from?
No.
Our Gemara, which we're about to see in about 30 seconds. Okay. That's all right. Okay, so the Gemara gives one explanation, it says, by Mincha. But that's not the answer we accept, obviously, because we say Hashem Sefosai by all our tefillah at the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. So, Om Rav Ashi Omer, Afilu Tema Kuhu. Really, you say it by all. Mikivan, the Kvu Rabbanan B'tefillah, since the Rabbanan established this Pasuk Hashem Sefosai Tiftach as part of the tefillah, it's Ketefillah Arichta Damya. It's considered like you're an elongated tefillah. It's part of, therefore, the Shemoneh Esrei. So it's not a Hesek. Hashem Sefosai Tiftach is part of the Shemoneh Esrei, it's the beginning of it. D'ilo Temahachi, because if you don't say this, you can ask a much better question. You have the whole problem by Mariv that you're saying the Pasuk of Hashem Sefosai Tiftach. Arv is Heichi Matzi Samech. How can you be some good feel then? Well, boy, Lameimar Ashkivenu. We have a paragraph right after. We say Brachat Hashem Kwa Yisrael, and we don't dive in the Shemoneh Esrei right then. We say Ashkivenu. Elo, so what's the significance of the hot paragraph of Ashkivenu? Kivant tekinu rabbanu hashkivenu, since the rabbanu established this bracha of hashkivenu, after the bracha of Goy Israel, it's kigula rechtadami, it's like an attachment to the bracha of geula, of redeeming, of Hashem redeeming, who has redeemed us. Goy Israel is in past tense. Hachinami kivant tekinu rabbanu betfila, ketfila rechtadami. So too, that's the significance of Hashem Sefosai Tiftach. So therefore,
I think that's even a more important question to ask.
What's that?
Rabbi Yochanan came out of the statement that if you're Bizocha Olam Haba,
right,
you connect Geula to Tefillah.
Right.
Where do you get it from?
How does he know that that's the case? And how is, just because you're a Semechu Tefillah, why is that a reason that you should be Zeichel
Chayil and Haba? And if that's true, then what? Then why would the Rabbana then Lesakin Tefillah Arichta?
Well, Tefillah Arichta is not an issue. You're still Samachol Tefillah. It's not a problem. Tefillah Arichta is Shemoneh Esrei.
My supposition would be that if he's making a statement,
right,
that you're going to be Zeichel Olam Haba,
right,
okay, by connecting Geula to Tefillah, which, again, I don't understand
right,
the philosophical implications of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then why even add the twill of Hashkivena?
Right.
Just go straight to it.
Well, you have to know why the institute Hashkivena.
Right.
I'm sure I don't know.
There's something significant in that paragraph which has added value to it.
Now, if you want to know why this thing is, the voices about Olam Haba, the
Preet
Tzaddik gives an answer.
Oh, very good.
I don't have there, but the Preet Tzaddik says you've got to go look it up.
Oh.
Oh, you mean the article references the Preet Tzaddik and it doesn't tell you what it says? It says, for analysis of this and similar statements, it says about the world to come, it's see Pritzadeh, volume 3, page 170.
Ulasco does that a lot.
Yes, that's your homework for this week.
You
have all three volumes?
Because we can't figure it out, so you try to figure it out.
No, they can figure it out, but I think what
they're lazy. They think
no, I think what they want you to do is they want you to do something. They want you to do a couple of things for yourself.
But do you?
But the only one problem is an English translation of the Pritzadeh.
They're working on it.
We're suing
some of this. A lot of stuff you can try a meeting. It's not kind of
edit. Some explain that whenever you see a reason or way a person can be zochel chayam haba, it's not just you do it, but you have to completely buy into the whole matter. So it's not just your sumakul tefillah, but you understand the davening. You understand what it means when you're saying Goal Yisrael, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. I completely believe Hashem took me out. And then immediately daven Shemoneh Esrei, he said, just as Hashem could have done the impossible by taking me out of Egypt,
but you know, there's another,
so too Hashem can answer all my tefillahs.
Go ahead. Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen V'Amen, comes between it. But then the whole thing that there's 18 blessings, 18 times
right.
Hashem's name in it.
So some, it's be, like the Shemoneh Esrei.
Like
right.
Otherwise you'd have nothing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't even present it, at least here. It's presented elsewhere, but not at this point. Okay, so but that's the basic explanation of this piece. All right, let us move on. Now that we've seen this pasuk of Hashem Sefasek Tivtach, the significance of this pasuk, which we talked about briefly one time between Minchah and Maariv, Hashem Sefasek Tivtach is a person standing before a Kadosh Baruch. If you truly understood what it means to stand in front of even a king of a melech bas of adam, and the king would tell you, "I'm going to give you 30 seconds, whatever you want, I'll grant you." And you're standing, you wouldn't be able to speak. You'd be like so mesmerized and so, you know, you would be just frozen. So therefore, we say Hashem Safosai Tiftach. In order to be able to begin your tefillah, you have to ask Hashem to be able to open up your mouth. Problem is, we can just rattle off the Shemoneh Esrei, which is really chesaron in ourselves. Hashem Sefasek Tivtach is teaching us that we're supposed to actually feel that we can't speak. And therefore, it really sets the tone of what the Shemoneh Esrei is. That's a ketfila rechta. Anyway, so let's move on. The Gemara continues and says, talking about this pasuk of Hashem Sefasek Tivtach a little bit in greater detail, it says, Michti, let's see. Hai ratzon imrei fi, rather this latter part of the which we say at the end of the davening, it could be a pasuk which you could say at the very end of davening, which is what we do. But the truth is, just like Hashem Sefasek Tiftach kind of made its way in there, which is a pasuk from Tehillim, maybe the pasuk could be Hil Ratzon could have also been put in the beginning instead, or also. After all, it's the Be'inu L'memar. It's something which could be said that you're asking Hashem that my tefillah should be accepted, right? Yehilu ratzon imrefi, that the words of my mouth should be accepted before God. So why do we say it? My time atiknuhu rabbanu achir ches brachos. So therefore, why is it only afterwards? Why do we wait until after 18? Memekar, say at the beginning. Why do we say it after the Shemoneh Esrei, after the 18 brachos? Say it after. Say it right away. It's in the beginning. So, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon and Pazi Hoyel since, Well, Amr David El Achir Yudches Parshios, Lafikach Teknihu Rabban El Achir Yudches Brachos. If you study this pasuk of Yehilu Ratzon Imrei Fi, you will not find this pasuk until after 18 paragraphs. Only by the 18th afterwards do we find this pasuk of Yehilu Ratzon Imrei Fi. So if you would actually look it up in an art scroll sitter, and you'll be able to find where exactly this pasuk is found, right? Because unfortunately, usually when a pasuk is quoted, the Torah or tells you on the side. Yeah, but it doesn't do that here at all, right? But this pasuk apparently is after 18th paragraph in the Sefer Tehillim. So once David HaMelech waited until after those 18, so too says it over here.
I'm making assumptions that in little you attach them.
Oh.
Because otherwise, we have a big problem.
Yes. Well, the Gemara is going to have a problem. The
Gemara is not going to be so satisfied with that. But nonetheless, at this point, we'll look at our the article sitter. Yilei Ratzon im Refi, in fact, it says, is in Psalms 19:15.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. So that works out beautiful. Okay, 19:15. All right. Well, maybe not so perfect. But nonetheless, at this point, yeah, it was said after the 18, so therefore it's said after the 18. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? Hani yudches, yutes havim. What do you mean? There's not 18 brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei. It's the most unusual name for a tefillah with Shemoneh Esrei. It's a number 18. It's not even 18. It's not. It's false. We're calling it something which it's not. Yutes havim. There's really 19. There's 19 brachos. If there's 19 brachos, the paragraph of Yilei Ratzon, the sentence of Yilei Ratzon, should be only after the 19th chapter. Should be 20:15. Should be in
the
19th.
The
added brachos. That's what I was going to say. It says that Ashrei Ha'ish V'lomo Rukshugoyim Chada Parshihi. He says that really, what the Marsha actually explains, that you can actually interpret it as, there was originally 18, then the 19th bracha of Amal Shinim was added into the Shemoneh Esrei, making it number 19. So, perhaps, the first two paragraphs of Tehillim, the first one is called Ashrei Ish, and then the next one, Rug Shugoyim, if you look in the Sefer Tehillim, there's two separate paragraphs. However, at this point, explains the Marsha, they could actually be considered as one, which therefore makes the pasuk of Yilei Ratzon 18th. How does that make it better? So let's see this for a second. So Hani Yudches Yutes Havim. So I think. Yeah, so we'll have to see this. Well, let's just see the Gemara, because I'm a little confused for some reason. So, Asher Ish v'lom rog shugoyim chada parshi. That's this, like, one paragraph. Do you remember Rabbi Yehuda bar Yehuda b'Shimon ben Pazi? Because he says, elsewhere, Kuf gimel parshios omer David, that David HaMelech recited 103 paragraphs to Tehillim, which is only 150 paragraphs long. There's 103 paragraphs. Below Omar, and he did not say, quote, Haluka. He never said that. To praise Hashem. Ad Shirab and Paltan Shil Rishoyim. Until he finally saw the downfall of the wicked. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, and this is a famous Pasuk, which we'll talk about in greater detail in the next Omud. Yitamachatayim in Aretz, Rishoyim od Einam Barchinashias Hashem Haluka. So he says Haluka, referring apparently the translation of this pasuk, which I'm going to say incorrectly now. We'll see the proper translation that Rameir's wife explains to us. The people that are sinners, the Rishayim, are going to be destroyed. Great, praise Hashem. So where is this paragraph in Tehillim? So it's very good, and this is helpful. Right. This is helpful. The Torah Or does kind of give this away. If you look on the side, on the left, it says, Tehillim Kuf Dalet, so it's 104, right? So he says, why was it that he waited until the 103rd paragraph to finally say Haluka? So it kind of gives it away. That's really not supposed to be the 103rd paragraph. It's Kuf Dalet, it's 104. So the Gemara asks, Hani Kuf Gimel Kuf Dalet Havya? What do you mean it's 103? It's 104. El Shema Mina, Ashrei Ish V'lom Rog Shugoyim Chada Parshihi. Therefore, these first two paragraphs are really like one. So therefore, even though it seems as though it is in paragraph 104, which is where it looks like if you open up a book of Psalms, the way we're interpreting it, because the first two paragraphs are like one, it's as though it's paragraph 103.
Well, and therefore, 103 starts at the beginning. It says, L'davi Baruch Hinam Shiyas Hashem.
Right.
And 104 is Baruch Hinam Shiyas Hashem. So the whole thing is you add L'davi, so the beginning of the two are the same. 103 starts with L'davi Baruch Hinam Shiyas Hashem.
Okay.
And 104 says Baruch Hinam Shiyas Hashem. It just adds L'davi to it, but basically it starts
the same. But the time he doesn't say Haluka until the end of paragraph 104.
Right.
But we can interpret that possibly as 103. So the way that to read the Gemara now is like this. The Gemara was saying that he instituted this Shemona Esrei after the, he instituted, rather, Yehilu Ratzon by the 18th, because within in the 18th paragraph, he says Yehilu Ratzon. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you look that up, it's not in the 18th paragraph, it's in the 19th paragraph. It's in Kapitel Yotes. So the fact is, the first two paragraphs are the same, so therefore, the Pasuk of Yehilu Ratzon is really in the 18th paragraph. Right? Even though if you look it up in the Tehillim, it's Yotes. If you include the first two, it's as though it's really in the 18th, corresponding to the original Shemona Esrei. Alright, fine. So that's how the Gemara explains this. And how do we see as a proof that it must be that the first and second paragraphs are the two which we combine? Based on the following piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, the last line of the Amud, it says, he says, the Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Reb Yochanan, now we're on Amud Aleph, Kol Parsha Shehoysa Chaviv Al David, anytime that David really loved the paragraph, he was really enjoying, of course it was all Baruch HaKodesh, but when he was writing it, certain things which were beloved to him, which were special, Pasach Bab Ashrei, the Sayim Bab Ashrei, he began with the word Ashrei in the beginning of the paragraph, and he ended off, he signed off the paragraph in the same way. How do we find that he does this sometimes? So the Gemara tells us that, how do we find this? Pasach Bab Ashrei Dechsev, because it says, Ashrei Ha'ish, and you can see on the side, it's Tehillim Aleph. That's the first, that's the very beginning of Psalms. Ashrei Ha'ish, so it says Ashrei. And he ends off, Ba'ashrei, B'Sayim Ba'ashrei, Dechsev, Ashrei Kol Chosi Bo. Now if you look on, again by the Torah, or Ashrei Kol Chosi Bo is in the end of Beis, right. But what do you mean? It says Kol Parsha, any paragraph, singular. So it must be that this is a proof that the first two paragraphs were really one. They were really one paragraph. Frektosis.
So why are they divided into two?
So the, I was saying that the Marsha tried to say this, but the Marsha says this is not really the case. He said that perhaps it was, you may think it was two, because that would make it 19, right? Which is what it says,
right.
Corresponding to the extra paragraph that we added later on in the Shemona Esrei, and the fact that they're together corresponds to when we only had the 18. So the Gemara could have been talking about it at a time when there was only the 18, and then we later added it on, and therefore now maybe it was originally one, and then they made it two. The first two made it as first two paragraphs as we have it now to correspond that Yehilu Ratzon is the 19th paragraph as we have it. But maybe that's only after they instituted the 19th bracha. Still, the Marsha talks about that. Tosus asks a different question. It's like a sidebar question. The Gemara said that anytime David HaMelech loved a parsha, a paragraph in his Tehillim, he began and ended with the same word, Ashrei. So if you look through the 150 paragraphs.
Right, if you look at Ashrei of Shevisecha, Ashrei is not even the beginning.
No, that doesn't start.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't start. It starts in the capital before. 144 is Ashrei, I think, and 143 starts with really, it says Ashrei, the last two sentences.
The paragraph of Ashrei in Tehillim actually starts with Tehillah L'David.
Right.
And we also do not have the last paragraph of Vanachdo. That's also an add-on to the Ashrei. Right. So Tosfos asks the following question. You want to find throughout the 150 paragraphs where he loves that paragraph. Look, the first word is Ashrei, the last word is Ashrei. Right, Tosfos, Be'im Tomar. It's only Tosfos on the Amud. So here we are. My kol par, what do you mean kol haparshios? Every single paragraph throughout the Hillel. V'holu ashkechan shum parsha acheres. Fortunately, Tosus did the hard work for us. He did the labor.
I'm doing it right now.
There was no place.
There is no other place. Shemetcheles ba'ashrei u'misayemes ba'ashrei elhi.
There's one that starts but doesn't end. Kufyotes.
The long one. Yeah. Asher Tamim Adera.
Right.
So Tosas asks, what are you talking about? You do not find any place where, other than here, assuming that paragraph 1 and 2 are really just one long paragraph, that it begins with Asher and ends with Asher. What do you mean? Every parsha, kol ha-parshas. So Tosas gives us an interesting insight as to what this Gemara really means. Yeshlomer delav dafka pasav Asher v'sim Asher. This means you begin with the word Asher and you end with the word Asher. Ella chasima me'in psicha. It means that the end, the chasim is the signing, is like the beginning. Any, it doesn't mean Asher necessarily, but the, if you find any time that the first word is like the last word.
Hallelujah.
Oh, very good. That's what Tosas is going to say. Very good. Chasima me'in psicha kimo tehila, like Ashrei, because it begins how tehila shepasach b'tehila tehila David, and the same. How does it end off? What's the last? The really the last sentence of Ashrei. Tehila Hashem yedaber pi. But the point is the first sentence and the last sentence both have the idea of tehila. A praise of praising God, and here you go. V'chein Tosas concludes harbe parshios many times shemitchilos b'haluka v'mesayamos b'haluka. So that's the idea. It begins and ends that
word. And the word is the last. The last word, the first word is haluka. The other one, tehila, it's not tehila. It's not the last word. If you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when the Gemara says. It ends the same. It doesn't necessarily mean maybe it could be the last word.
Say hallelujah.
That it is. That's right. Okay. So the Gemara told us an interesting thing. The Gemara said that why does he say this pasuk Yitamu Chatoim in Aretz Yerushalayim Od Einam? He said this. He only waited. He never said Haluka. He never praised Hashem. He never said Hallel until what point?
Hallel starts at 111, 112.
But. This is 103, 104, right? But he never started praising Hashem until what point? Until the Gemara says, until the moment that Shirah b'mafalsim shel Rishayim, until he saw the downfall of the wicked. So you look at the Marsha over here. The Marsha asks a very interesting and quite obvious question. Marsha says, which is on page 6, there's the left and the right column, It's the last Maharsha before you see, it says in a large font about 2/3 down, Daf, Yud, Ayin, Aleph, which means Amud Aleph, the Maharsha. It's page 6. The last Maharsha is Mimafaltin Shel Rishayim. That David HaMelech did not praise Hashem until he finally saw the downfall of the wicked. The Marsha asks the obvious question. It says, "Mekan kasha." From here, I can ask. Lama shekosav achronim b'shem hamedrash. The achronim they write in the name of the medrash, the famous medrash about Pesach. She'ein omrim hallel b'yom achron shel Pesach. We do not say whole hallel in the last days of Pesach. Why not? After
you say the shiras that day.
You see this? It's right here. It starts b'mafaltan. It's in a larger font.
That's what it began.
Okay, so
it's not because of the Shira, since the Shira talks about to the falling of the Egyptian being killed.
Yeah.
But also the same thing with the Alta Smach before Levecha. So how? Why is he that would go against?
That's the Marshal's cash over here. Very good. Very good. I mean, Hashem Shemar Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Hashem said. My creations are sinking in the sea, and of course, Alan's pshat is what?
The horses.
The horses.
The Egyptians got what they deserve.
And you're gonna sing? This is not the time to sing. And in parentheses, different sources of the Gemara. Bahari Hacha here, Amr Behepuch. It's the opposite. What did the Gemara say? Delo Amr David Hallel. David never praised Hashem. Ad Shiram Apostle Shel Rishayim, until he saw them fall. Right? And they. It sounds the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do. Also, the Gemara in Erechin, Amrina Tam Acher. Perhaps that may be one of the reasons why the Talmud gives a different reason other than the fact that we don't want to see the downfall of our enemies. Dolakach in Omer Hallel be Yomachor in the Pesach. Why didn't we say Hallel then in the last days? Mishum de in Chalukim be Korbanosehen, because the sacrifices were not different. They were all the same, as opposed to on Sukkot where there's different sacrifices. On Pesach, everything's the same, so it's not something to be extremely rejoiceful over, because everything is the same. There are different times. The Gemara is going to discuss different times of his life. He recited certain paragraphs.
Growing as a child, he saw Goliath passed, right?
Right.
So you see, Yerisha Rishon fall.
Correct. It doesn't necessarily refer to what he saw. Yeah,
I mean, what aspect are we talking about of his life? Was it the downfall of his son, who was rebelling against him, or was it prior to that, or was it in his youth, or was it later on?
What are you asking? Which enemy is he
saying? He said he didn't start writing Hallelujah until after he saw some Rishayim failing. His whole life he saw Rishayim failing. Right. So therefore...
So you're trying to say that he wrote it at the end of his life?
No. And he wrote it all along his life.
Right.
Every time there was a Mapala, he wrote it.
I'm not really sure. So, and I don't know, it doesn't say exactly what, you know, what point or what he was expressing this toward.
I would think so, maybe you have to be in the dayak with the word here.
Yep.
This is a Mapala. It's not like a drowning, it's not a moat, it's Mapala. And we say, so somebody can have a Mapala and it's not the end of him, he can still rise up and be corrected. Maybe that's something that is worthy of Tehillah, as opposed to just the outright death of the Rasha. You know, that's the death of the essentially, the Mapala becomes the death of the Vishu, of the Rasha.
Oh, maybe we're going to understand this a little bit better when we see the famous story on the next Amud with Ramer's brilliant wife. But before we see that, this is going to be one of the sources where she's found in the Gemara. Anyway, the Chidah gives actually a different explanation to the Marshal's question. And he says that perhaps the only time you're not allowed to praise Hashem by the downfall of the Rishayim is B'shas Rischa Shekadosh Baruch Osa Din B'Rishayim, only at that moment. When it's happening, during that time when it happened, that's when you're not allowed to. Ein lo mashira avol acher shi'aver zam or mashira. But after it's gone, they've been destroyed, then you can say it already. So this incident of him saying shira was not at the moment that they were falling, but it was only after the fact. There's nothing wrong, apparently, according to the Chidah, rejoicing after the fact, not necessarily connecting your rejoice to the fact that they fell down. But you're allowed to say Hallel. You just can't do it b'shas Maisa while they're falling.
Then why don't we say Hallel today?
Because the idea of the Chagim is we're reenacting the events of history. It's not just we're remembering what happened historically.
But we also say Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every single day. So if you want to look at it that way, Yitzias Mitzrayim came out of every single day, so you can definitely not say it because it conjures up the image. If you want to say it that way, I mean, I'm just saying, it's a whole big thing. We say you can give a song, we should see Mitzrayim every single day,
right?
And that's Kilo. We came out of Mitzrayim. What happened?
I'm not sure if you have to actually every day envision yourself as though you left Mitzrayim. I think that might only be on Pesach.
Well,
the obligation of Chayv al Nemiris Atzmo. Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim is based on the pasuk we got it.
Zecher is not the same thing as being actual being there.
Right, but Pesach itself, you're supposed to be there. That's how a lot of times they explain why certain chagim, like for example, the Gemara says in Shabbos about Chanukah, the story of Chanukah happened. The Gemara says Lashana Acheres, the next year they instituted it. So the Mepharshim asks, why did they wait until they waited a year? Why do they have to wait until the next year to institute that we should say Hallel v'Hodah? So some of the Parshim explain, I don't remember who it was, says that because when that next year came about, there was a certain level of Kedusha which was brought into the world, which they noticed was unusual for a regular day. They noticed there was something special about that day. It was only because it was that same day a year later. And that's how a person is supposed to envision all the Chagim, not just a historical lesson, but something which you're supposed to actually envision or living through, or not necessarily living through those events, like Pesach, but understanding that it's not just a day that you're celebrating, but there's something unique about that day which draws to those Chagim somehow. It's mystical.
When you think about it, you have to say there's something very unique about Pesach. And we say, Chayava Dam L'Rosa Smoke, Huya Tzam Mishraim. You would think that there's any event that we would say that Chayava Dam L'Rosa Smoke, who was there, would be Matnat Torah when all the Neshamot were really there.
Right.
And it doesn't say it for this. This is something unique. And we don't say that all the Neshamot were Yotzei Mitzrayim. We have more than that. We even say that 4/5 of the Neshamot didn't leave Mitzrayim. You know, the Neshamot was present in Matnat Torah. They had the Gilgulim and whatever they had afterwards. But that certainly was an event that did not include everybody. And we want to envision it that way. So there's something unique about it.
It's absolutely.
Well, the thing of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we should see the future Gula. That's the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we know that Hashem is usid to give us Gula in the future, and that's what we're supposed to remember and give us the faith that we will have a Gula the Shlema in the future, as opposed to some other things.
I mean, it's like saying that yes, I believe that it's going to happen, but it's not just going to happen. It's again.
That it happened, that it's going to happen again. That's basically what you're saying.
I feel it happened to me already. It makes it easier to conceive of this.
That it will happen again in the future.
Again,
right,
and then something that they never experienced.
Exactly. So that's why we say it's just trying to remember, keep that fresh, that it's going to happen again. So when we like to say we've lived through it, so we know that it can happen again, as opposed to some other things which never happened.
We're going to see this last story over here in Yudim and Aleph. A very nice, maybe not so nice story, depends on who you are in this story. Hanhu Bar Yoni. There was some people that were the Bar Yonim, which were very cruel and wicked in many ways. There were certainly Chatoyim, there were sinners, there were Shoyim. And the Havi of Bishavusid Rameir, you know, unfortunately Rameir's next door neighbor, what?
I thought those were the guys that burned the storehouses that we did. They were basically Orthodox, but they were zealots. That's what the
Rashi calls them Peritzen.
Peritzen. So maybe different
Baryonim. Okay. And it happened to be they were next door neighbors to Rabbi Meir. They lived on the same block. Apparently not. Vahavi Kamitsari Le Tuva. He used to drive Rabbi Meir crazy. He used to bother him. Obviously, ridiculing him and his spiritual and religious beliefs. Haviko boy Rameir Rachmi Elihu. So Rameir said, you know what? I got to start asking Rachmim for these people. I have to really ask for some mercy and compassion. Ki hechidu delimusu. That they should die. So the Slach asked, where's the compassion in that? That's the Rachmim? So the Slach interestingly explains that when it comes to a Rasha, if you're not a Rasha Gomor, so you did something good in your life, so you're going to see, in assuming that life is so easy to understand, that person who's a Rasha, Sheinu Gomor, is going to receive certain nice things in this world, in Olam Hazeh. Why? So Hashem will be able to really clobber you in Olam Haba. So Rameir looked at him and said, we have to give these people rachmim. By killing them, they're not going to lose their entire Olam Haba. That's how the Slach explains it. Okay, which certainly is not the simple explanation, but nonetheless, let's see the rest of the story. On the simple explanation, he just felt these people have to die. Perhaps that they were a destructive force. By keeping them around, they're just going to make matters worse for themselves and for the entire world around them. So So what happens? Rameir was standing there and he was davening, shuckling with such kavana. So his wife came a little close. And what is he praying for? And she heard what he was saying. These guys should die. So Amulei Bruria Debesu, Bruria, his wife, Rameir's wife, heard this feel and says, "My daitach, what are you thinking? Well, what on earth are you doing? Mishum dechsiv yitamach atayim. Is it because the Pasuk says the Tamachatayim and says that this people that sin, they should be wiped off the face of this earth? You're not Rameir, you're not darshing the Pasuk well, right? You're not thinking well. That's not the shot in the Pasuk. Chotim, it doesn't say Chotim the sinners. Chatayim, their sins, right? Love the sinner, hate the sin, right? So don't kill them. It doesn't mean Yitam Chatayim that you should wipe off the people that sin. It means remove their sins. The Ode, and furthermore, Shavuot Sefer for the crow. What does the end of the Pasuk say? Rishayim Ode Einam. And they're not wicked. So what does that mean? Because Kivan Diatamu Chatayim, once you remove the sins from them, Rishayim Ode Einam, they're no longer wicked. So what does the Pasuk mean? El Boy Rachamay Elihu, you should ask for compassion. But not compassion Rachamim that they should die, but rather compassion Dilahadu B'tshuva, that they should do tshuva. Rishayim od einam. This way they won't be Rishayim anymore. You'll have nice neighbors. So Bal Rachmi Elihu, our mayor, didn't flinch. He didn't question his wife. He did exactly as she said, and he started asking mercy. V'hadu b'tshuva, and in fact, they became tzaddikim. They became righteous. Frek the Marsha. We're going to end off with this last Marsha over here. The Marsha says, still page 6. I cheat, I underline it so I know where it is. The Marsha, which is the second Marsha on this Amud where it says Chatayim, we're not going to see this entire part. We're going to see about, everyone sees where it says Chatayim, Ksiv, the large font. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line from there. The first words on the line is Shiyichyu v'chatayim shalahem yitamu. Okay, which the next word is Vayesh. V'yesh l'ayin b'zeh. Does anyone see that? V'yesh l'ayin b'zeh. So the Marsha says you can look into this matter. This is a very difficult piece of Gemara. Obviously, on many levels, the Marsha makes it a little bit more difficult. He says, "Devadai certainly." But Adam hamavakish rachmim al atzmo. If you're a Rasha, you've done some mistakes. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to daven. You're supposed to daven to Hashem about yourself. Lachziru b'tshuva, that you should be given the strength and the foresight and the ability to change, do tshuva. Nicha, that's fine. Diafa gab, even though there's the famous expression that kol bidei shemayim chutz meyirei shemayim, that everything is in God's hands except for if you want to be a tzaddik or a rasha. So the question is, how can I daven to Hashem? Let me do tshuva. It's not up to Hashem for me to do tshuva. It's up to me. Hari amru, but nonetheless we say, but Derek Sha'adam Rotzalelech Malichan also. The way the person wants to go, that's the way that they'll be led. Varotzalatahir Misayinin Lo. And if the person really wants to purify himself, we'll help him out. Which means that if he has that inner drive to want to change, the davening will inspire him to change. And therefore, it's okay if you could daven and you should daven that I should become a tzaddik and I should do tshuva. Because that will inspire myself to change, because it shows my desire to do so, and Hashem will also help me along that way. However, v'zeh ha'mavakish rachmim al'atzmo l'achzir b'tshuva, this person wants to ask for mercy upon themselves to do tshuva, harizeh b'chlal harotzel atayr. That's fine, that falls under this category. If someone wants to purify themselves, Hashem will help them. Aval, but, asks the Marsha, l'vakish rachmim al'chavero, to ask Rachmim to daven for your friend, lachzir b'tshuva, that he should change, he should stop being a Rasha, he should become a tzaddik, kasha. That to me is very difficult. Ma yo'il b'kashasa, what is that prayer, that private prayer that no one else is hearing, how is that helpful? Ha'amrinan ha'kol b'nei shemayim chutz meyirei shemayim. It's not in your hands, it's not in God's hands. That you should daven that this person should change. So that's a question that the Marsha asks. And he really poses it as, he ends up and says, V'yesh liyashev, you could maybe answer. He doesn't really explain it. Doesn't answer it. But he poses it as a point to ponder, is how could Rameir or anyone be mispalel for someone else to do tshuva? Kol b'dishmaim chutz mirishmaim. So I heard one answer. One answer is like this. I can't get you to, by my tefillah, stop being a Rasha to being a Tzaddik, because that's up to you. Because it's up. Hashem doesn't have that control. Hashem only has the ability to take a person's wealth, to give a person wealth. But perhaps when a person has been mispalel, that a person, someone else should do tshuva, you're saying this person may have a certain nisayon. What is that person's test? It might be the fact that he does have wealth, and therefore you daven to Hashem, give that person the ability to do tshuva, which may mean Hashem take away his wealth, so he doesn't have the nisayon clogging and blocking his mind, so that he'll be able to do tshuva on his own. Or it could mean, let's say, a person who is poor and he needs money, or something which Hashem is able to control and manipulate the situation in order to give him the proper ability to be able to find his own tshuva. So that's how some explain that Rav Meir was allowed to do.
We're involved with Kira.
Right.
So when we're doing external ways of trying to bring people back.
Right.
To become Balei Tshuva.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, besides doing traditional and other things to be Makarim, then,
right.
Show them the beauty of religion, okay? You also can, if you're really doing this aspect of it, why then can't you just go ahead and pray that they will have the foresight or the initiative or the rational reasoning or an experience happen to them to bring them closer to what we're doing? I mean, that's not that far-fetched.
You could. In other words, but you can't ask Hashem to cause that person to become a tzaddik directly.
Like,
but you can cause, as you said, the different things can be set into motion.
You can do what you can them, to bring, like bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You could bring him to that madrega and show him what he's got to do, but ultimately he has to be makabel or machos.
Yeah, but
you can't be that for him.
Right.
You could set him in derech, but the ultimately the tshuva.
And the machzor, you said machzor. Lo chafetz the most.
Most of these.
Tshuva medarko v'yichin.
Want
to live? Want to tshuva?
Does that make sense? What you're saying? The idea of kiruv is you're actively helping and guiding that person. And here, Rav Meir wasn't doing any of that. He was in his own room praying for them, and they did show.
Just a couple of quick short.
Yeah.